My dear friends in Christ, I'd like to ask this question. What comes to your mind when you would hear a phrase, the grandest of all banquets? Think about that. The grandest of all banquets. I would venture to say that all of us would have maybe a little bit different of a picture as to what the grandest of a banquet would look like. You know, we would certainly fashion it to, you know, our styles. But I would also venture to say that most of us would have one thing in common. If it's going to be the grandest of all banquets, then it's got to have food, food, and more food. And not only that, but it's got to be the best food that we ever had. As a matter of fact, the way I picture it, there's so much food there that I could not help but commit the sin of gluttony, okay? I could not help but leave the place in utter pain because I ate so much. That's what I think about when I think of the grandest of all banquets. Today is Maundy Thursday. Quite honestly, it's a day that here in America, in the Christian church, is now literally forgotten. That's sad because Maundy Thursday is an extremely important day for we Christians. Really, on Maundy Thursday, there were many different things that took place that really we should spend time studying. I mean, on Maundy Thursday, Jesus literally began his passion in order to save mankind. He prayed and taught in his high priestly prayer that he wanted the church to be one. He washed the feet of the disciples and thereby proclaimed to them that all of them were to serve as he was to serve. But the most important event that took place on that Maundy Thursday is really what took place while Jesus was celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples for the very last time. Because you see, it was during that time, as he was celebrating that Passover meal, that he instituted this new Passover meal. He instituted the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the sacrament of Holy Communion. We also can call it the Lord's Table, the Eucharist, the Mass. It all means the very same thing. And I would like to tell you that in all reality, the sacrament of Holy Communion is the grandest of all banquets that you and I could ever partake. Now, I know that sounds weird, because really, what do we receive when we receive communion? You get this little wafer like this, okay? And, of course, that's really nothing more than wheat and water, okay? Or it could be flour and water. Certainly doesn't fill the belly, that's for sure. And we get a little sip of wine or juice. Certainly not enough to quench any kind of thirst. How in the world can this be the grandest of all banquets? Especially when I think that you got to have food, food, and more food. And yet it is. As a matter of fact, it's the grandest of all banquets that Jesus tells us that we should partake of often. But why? What's going on here? Well, maybe what we need to do is to understand a little bit about the Passover, the original, and then the Passover celebration. I think you're well aware of the Passover. This really dealt with the 10th plague. For 9 plagues, Pharaoh would not let the people of Israel go. And so with the 10th plague, he ordained that he was going to send the angel of death, and all of the firstborn of all the living animals and people were going to be struck dead. But in order to spare the Israelites, He told them to take a lamb, okay? A year old, without blemish. Kill it. Take the blood. And paint that blood upon the doorposts and the lintels of their homes. And so that night, when that angel of death came over the land of Egypt, he killed all of the firstborn, animals and people, even the Pharaoh's firstborn. But all of the Israelites were spared. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb that was on their doorposts. And it was that that finally got to Pharaoh. It was that that moved Pharaoh, take your people and get out of my land. And they left. But a deliverance. Well, lo and behold, after that, God said, I want you to commemorate the Passover. Each and every year, to remember what I did for you. So the Passover then began with the sacrifice of a lamb, year old, without blemish. And what would take place is that the master of the household, he would bring this to the priest, and he would place his hand on top of the head of that lamb. Now, what was happening here was is that the sins of that individual and of that family were being transferred to that lamb. That lamb who was innocent. Okay, the lamb didn't do anything wrong. Okay, he was innocent. It was the people that were not. But the lamb, those sins were transferred to the lamb. The lamb becomes the substitute. And then the neck is broken. And then the blood is drained. The blood is spread on the individuals, on the priest, before the entrance of the tabernacle, or in this case, during Jesus' time in the temple, to signify that their sins were forgiven. And then they were cleansed. And they could go and they could enjoy and celebrate the Passover meal. They needed forgiveness. The only problem was this whole ritual of sacrifices. It was never enough. They had to keep on doing it because it could never pay for sin once and for all. Now, they get to the Passover meal. What's kind of interesting is that that meal, for the most part, the Seder, has not changed in 3,500 years. Basically the same. And Seder, by the way, means order. So they followed an order. And one of the very first things that they did after they began is they took matzah, unleavened bread. You know, you may remember that they were told to make unleavened bread. Do not waste time to let it rise because you have to be quick. You have to be ready to get out of here. So they took 3 pieces of matzah. Okay? I think it's kind of interesting. 3, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then they would take the middle one. And they broke it. This was hid, okay, for later on for a child to find. And this is what was then passed around and ate by the people that was there. Well, lo and behold, as Jesus was celebrating this, he took this middle one, he broke it, and then he said, take, eat, this is my body given for you. Now, you see, this middle piece here was called the poor man's bread. This middle piece that was here signified affliction, but at the very same time, it signified the fact that through affliction, there was going to be freedom. So when Jesus goes and uses this, he was in fact saying, look, I am going to be afflicted. I am going to suffer. I am going to die, but by it, you are going to be freed. I don't think they understood it at the time, but that's the way it was. And then a little bit later on came the third cup of wine that they drank. And that cup is known as the cup of redemption. And actually, the way that worked was that the leader was to say, and God will redeem his people with outstretched arms. Jesus said, take, drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this often in remembrance of me. Jesus declared that he was the Redeemer, that he was going to free the people of Israel. He was going to free the world, not the way they thought, but from the real enemies, from sin and death and the devil. And he was going to do it by suffering on that cross, by shedding his blood upon that cross, and by dying. He's the Lamb of God. Our sins are placed upon him. He who is innocent, who does not deserve any of it. We who deserve all of God's wrath. And finally, the punishment of eternal damnation because of our rebellion and sin is placed upon him. And when he goes to that cross and he gives his body and he sheds his blood, he defeats sin. He defeats death. He defeats the power of the devil. He wins forgiveness and salvation for all who believe. But why the sacrament of the Lord's Supper? Jesus knows the way we are. He knows that we are people who sin. He knows that we are people that have trouble with our faith. He knows we are people at times that we're not so sure we can be forgiven, that we have our doubts, that it's so easy for us to go astray. I could go on and on and on. He knows that we are a people who need his help, his grace, his gospel. And therefore, he establishes the sacrament. And in this sacrament, as we're told, as we partake of that bread, we're also receiving the body of Christ. And as we partake of the wine or juice, we are receiving also his blood. Did you not know that his blood is in participation with the wine? Did you not know that his body, and the better translation, is in communion with the bread? Now, Jesus is not up there re-sacrificing himself all the time. He did it once and for all. It's all done with, okay? But somehow, some way, miraculously, as we receive bread, we're also receiving his body. We receive wine, juice, we're receiving his blood. All right? How can this be? I can't tell you. But can God do it? Of course he can do it. He can do anything. God is God. And God wants it this way for a purpose. Because you see, as we come forward and receive bread, body, blood, wine, he's saying to us, I love you so much. On that cross, I won forgiveness. Listen, your sins are forgiven. I love you so much that on that cross, I gave up body and blood. Your doubt is forgiven, and I will not let you go. I love you so much that on that cross, I purchased you as mine. And through this sacrament, I am going to hold on to you so that you cannot escape. me so that I can hold on to you and give you eternal life. Do you see why this is the greatest banquet that has ever been given? It is because Jesus comes and he takes care of our spiritual needs, those needs that can keep us faithful to him, those needs that keep us steadfast so that we can have eternal life. This is the grandest of all banquets. May God grant that we be moved to partake of it often to receive his gifts. Amen.